Good morning. I got a question for you. What do you see? Aaron, you can throw the first slide up. Well, no, you can't really, can you? Yeah, go ahead up. We'll just come back to it. What do you see? As we close up 2013, that is a question that maybe you've been asking. Kind of, where have we come from? Where are we going? What are we doing? The text for today will be found in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 through 10, and we'll get to it in a couple moments. I know Lisa shared a little bit, and I was waiting to share with you. Some of you know that about 2.5 months ago, I got to go and visit my dad. First time I've seen him in quite a long time. This man that for 45 years of my life, I've hated with a passion, if you can say it that way, and finally decided, okay, I'm going to work on reconciliation. For me, it's been that kind of a journey, working on reconciliation. And they gave him 6 months to live, and he's supposed to be in his final months. Nobody really knows. When my brother and I were there visiting with him, he seemed perfectly healthy and doing things. From what I've been told, he's gone downhill fairly rapidly, so much so that he has a hospital bed at his house, and he's basically stuck there. Every time I call him and I ask him, hey, Dad, how you doing? He says, I'm doing okay. But I've got two reports now from people saying that he has told them goodbye. One of them, he actually said, I'm not going to make it through the night, so goodbye. And so the next morning, my dad's wife, Maria, had to call and say, he's still here. So I know I've been real big about trying to get there and working with my brother and sister and getting the five of us there with Lisa and my brother's wife, getting the five of us there. And we have tickets purchased for January 9th to fly there. But what I'm going to do is probably tomorrow I will call my dad and I will tell him if he wants to go, then go. And that seems to be where he's at. And so I don't know what we'll do. I don't know if we'll fly, if he passes away before that, if we'll fly there or see if they'll let us have our tickets back. But it's coming to this realization. I got the chance to go visit with him in October. And if all he's doing right now is hanging on and is uncomfortable and hanging on because I keep telling him, I want to come visit you one more time, then I don't want him to hang on if he needs to go. And so if you want to know how to pray, then that's how you should pray. That God's will be done, and that if it's his time, then he'll do that. And so I'll talk to him. I'll clearly talk to him. I don't know a whole lot about his spiritual journey and where he's at. I do know at one point he became a Catholic. Now, what does all that mean? I don't know. But I will, when I talk to him, I will go through him and ask him, if you were to die right now, do you know where you're going? And try to do that with him. So if you want to pray for me and my dad, it's that if he really wants to go, then he is free to go. And I will let you know I am at peace with that. It's tough saying that, but I am. I at least got to go see him once in October. And if I don't get to see him again, then I don't get to see him again. And we'll still move forward from there. So that's that. 2013. You know, we're a couple days away, and it's history. It's in the books, and looking forward to 2014. I don't know how many of you are making plans and looking back over the year and saying all the great things that have happened and looking forward to 2014 and where we're going. But to get you thinking, I have a video for you to watch. And so, Aaron, go ahead.
Every one of us has been touched by this attack on your beloved city. Every one of us stands with you.
It just makes you value life, how blessed we are to live every day.
Likely largest inventions of our generation are the internet and the mobile phone. They've changed the world. However, Edward Snowden started leaking information.
The only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy.
You've probably heard that healthcare.gov hasn't worked as smoothly as it was supposed to work.
The protesters, anonymous, the date November the 5th, intentional.
This is a decision that says gay people have equal rights.
Gay marriage is now legal in England and Wales after Queen Elizabeth II gave it her royal stamp of approval.
Today is the day of every woman, every boy, and every girl who have raised their voice for their rights.
The dog.
Hi, Poppy.
The dog.
Oh, Pansy. Bless your little bitty heart.
I want to be in the hospital all the time. I want to be out with friends. I don't want to feel sick, and I want to be home.
We're people, and we have problems. We're not perfect, and that's okay. So we need to stop the ignorance, stop the intolerance. The only way is by standing strong together. By standing strong
together. Today, this five-year-old is teaching an entire city what it means to be a superhero.
Perfect. But as a
So there you have it, 2013, kind of a quick year in review. As I was preparing for this, and Christmas was on Wednesday, and so it's kind of a quick turnaround trying to get things together, I thought this message, the way we do this, could go in two directions. And you all will help to determine which way that goes. We'll get to that in a couple moments. Did you know that Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, when he was 88 years old, he found himself on a train. And the conductor, he called for the tickets, and he was going about collecting these, and Justice Holmes couldn't find his ticket, and he seemed very upset. And he searched his pockets, and he fumbled through his wallet, and he wasn't able to find his ticket, and the conductor was sympathetic, and he said, "Don't worry, Mr. Holmes. The Pennsylvania Railroad will be happy to trust you. And when you get to your destination, you'll probably find the ticket, and then you can just mail it to us." The conductor's kindness, however, did not put Mr. Holmes at ease. He said, "My dear man, my problem is not where is my ticket, but rather where am I going?" You see, unfortunately, we're too often like that. We move forward through life unsure of how to respond to the changing situations in the world around us. The problem is often that we lack no clear direction or picture of where we're going. We lack a defined definition. Somehow we lack vision. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you've turned there, you can follow along. If you want, it's already there. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Sherlock Holmes and Watson, they were out camping one night, and in the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes, he wakes up and he looks up at the stars and he asks, "Watson, what do you see?" And awoken from his sleep, Watson looked up and he said, "Stars." "Yes, but what do those stars tell you?" And Watson went on and said, "Cosmologically, they tell me that we are part of a large universe and that we are one of billions and billions of planets. Theologically, they tell me that we have a great God who made it all. Meteorologically, they tell me that the sky is clear and that tomorrow the weather is going to be great. Temporally, they tell me that it is the middle of the night and we should be asleep. Sherlock, what do they tell you?" "Well," Sherlock replied, "they tell me that someone has stolen our tent." Okay, some of you didn't see that one coming. Sorry. This is where our path in this message can divert. Let me ask you this morning, what do you see? As you think back over this past year, 2013, and you look at your own life and maybe even the direction of this church, Richmond Community Church, what do you see? Where is this church going? Where are we going? Now, normally, that would be like a rhetorical question. You all sit there and think about it. But the truth is, if we're willing to go down this road, then I'm throwing all that away, and we'll talk about that. And you can talk about where you think the church should be going, or what you think our vision is, or what you see. Ask questions about it. And we can have kind of an open forum and talk about it. Otherwise, you can sit there and I'll tell you about three different types of churches that I have written down. Yes?
I think that Richmond Church has really grown in kindness and acceptance of all people. Kindness towards all people and acceptance of all people.
All right. The church has grown in kindness and acceptance of all people. Yeah. Yeah.
Some of that depends on the person who stepped forward to lead our church, on who has made it known that being the leader of the church was not his calling.
Mm-hmm.
And how does he feel about all of it? I think that has a very large role in what happens.
All right. Tim, I got a question for you. Are you getting any of what they're saying? Okay. Yeah, we got a couple microphones up here, and if you have something to say, if we're going to go down this road, then it's really cool if we can talk in a microphone. Now, you can talk loud enough where people can hear you. I know I can. But the purpose for the microphones in this is so it's on, kind of on record, because there are other people who actually listen to this who aren't here. And so, yeah, a while ago I kind of stepped up and said, hey, it's not really what I want to do, but if it's what God needs me to do right now, then I'll do that. And I've tried to be as open and as transparent with you as I can. And days when I get up here and struggle and think, I shouldn't even be up here. Well, I am sometimes. So anyone else? Question, thoughts, comment? Where do you see yourself going? What do you see when you look at this building? We got two wonderful young ladies up here willing to run around and, well, walk around and get it to you somehow.
God, Purdue, just the love and outpouring of kindness and generosity I feel here. I've been here so long, 15 years, I think, 10, 15 years. And I struggle with mental health and voices in my head today, but God willing, I'm still here today, and I'm doing good works with God, and He's helped me to be able to help others out there in the community, and I thank all of you for that help, too. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right.
I think the church was the most beautifully decorated for Christmas I've ever seen it. And I just loved it. I've loved every minute of it. It's so beautiful and uplifting.
First, giving honor to God. I feel good because I was remembered. We were remembered by the gentleman over there.
Pastor Frank. Yeah, Pastor Frank.
Yeah, and he said, yeah, I remember you, and that it's nice to come into a church and be remembered. This is our second time here, mm-hmm. and felt very welcome. And I like the fact that we can eat in the sanctuary, no disrespect to God, but it looks like we're not short of cleaners in here. So I think that's a blessing.
Yeah, Amy's got her hand up.
I know that for a while we've been kind of dealing with just lack of people knowing what to do in the mm-hmm. positions they've been placed in just because of the season that our church has gone through. But it's been really neat the last couple of years seeing people step up and learn, you know, how to lead, you know, lead sermons and lead worship and seeing the kids program, especially in the last year, in big part because of Aaron and Karen and the work that they've put into it, really take shape. And, you know, having, worksheets written out for the kids to do that. And especially because we have a whole new generation of kids coming up now and being a parent.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. But, you know, just that is taking shape. And I hope to see that move forward. And I hope to see that, mm-hmm. just because they are the future of this church, and a big part of that is going to be making sure that we have programs and things set up for them and training for them and, you know, just spiritual growth for the adults as well so that we know how to train them up properly. So for me, where I want to see the church go is continue to have people, learn, you know, how to lead and learn how to better their own spiritual walk so that we can train up the children that are following us because we have a whole ton of them coming.
Yeah. I'll give you some time to think. The first church that I have down here and that you can look at is the Undertaking Church. See, it is one that is always looking backwards. See, all the people ever talk about are the good old days. You might remember those. I remember the good old day when I was in youth group back on Guam and our youth group, we got together all the time and the church family, they gathered around us and we were one great big happy family. It was a great time. Why can't we just be like that? See, they miss what is happening today because they're always looking back to yesterday. See, decisions in that kind of church are based on what has worked in the past. See, if it was good enough for them, then certainly it's good enough for us now. In Psalm 137, verse 1, all the way through 4, it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing for us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing songs of Zion while we are in a foreign land?" See, the children of Israel, they missed what God was doing. See, God was doing a new thing and they didn't understand it. They saw their captivity as an end and not as a beginning. They did not see that through their captivity, God was setting the stage for Jesus Christ. Follow along with this if you can. The Babylonians, who had them in captivity, would be defeated by the Persians, who would allow the Jews to spread all across the Mediterranean. And then the Persians, they would be defeated by the Greeks, who would unify all people through their language and their customs. And then the Greeks, they would be defeated by the Romans, who would build roads and make transportation possible through the remote corners of the then known world. So you see, when Jesus was born, the stage was set for the message to spread like wildfire through one generation to everybody around. Years ago, when Mao Zedong was the leader of China, there was some great persecution going on of the Christians. See, Mao wanted to eliminate Christianity. So first, he arrested all the Christians, and he spread them out throughout China, thinking that if he spread them out and they weren't able to meet together, that the church would die. Second, he wanted to punish them, and so he gave them the worst jobs possible. They became garbage collectors and grave diggers. They dig the holes that they put the bodies in when people die. I know, that's not sound like a good job at all. Right, Frankie? Oh, he's not even down here. He's upstairs. See, on the surface, you would have thought that that would have worked. However, in spreading the Christians throughout all of China, he made it possible for Christianity to be all over the place. And in making Christians garbage collectors, he gave them access to every single home in China. And in giving them the job as grave diggers, he placed them in situations where they could share their hope with people who were in the middle of grieving. See, poor eyes limit your sight. Poor vision limits your deeds. See, while you can look back at the past and you can learn from it, you can't live there. You have to live and adapt to where you are, or you will perish. Too many churches spend time in the past lamenting about things the way they were, the things that were back there. What has worked in the past may not work in the present because the audience has changed. See, the gospel, somehow it has to be preached afresh and told in new ways to every generation, since every generation has its own unique questions. The gospel must constantly be forwarded to a new address because the recipient is repeatedly changing his place of residence. Haggai chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Who of you is left who saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing?" See, God remembered his people and that he was with them and that his spirit was still there. See, it's impossible to serve God yesterday. You cannot live off of yesterday's bread. It does not matter how God used you in the past. How will he use you in the present or in the future? A person who continually tries to walk looking backward will eventually fall. As a church, for a long time we did that. We looked back to when the church was at 200 people. and all the things that they were able to do. And then we talk about how now we're only 40 people and we're struggling. But God has great things for us. Thoughts, comments, questions? Anyone? Mike's got his hand up over here, Kelly. She just sat down back there.
I tend to think of this as a time of preparation for us.
Okay.
Things working themselves to where they're supposed to be. And there's a couple of thoughts I have about that. One is, I think it's an old sports analogy. You can't win a championship by preparation, but you can definitely set yourself up to lose by not having good preparation.
Okay.
And a constant theme for me is our job is to do those things that we're supposed to do. And it's God that creates the bounty. And I think just the fact that we're asked these questions, that we are looking for that direction, will mean that we are less likely to miss it. Okay. I see a time when we'll look back and we'll go, oh. And that's great. That's what it's supposed to be. We don't get all the pieces up front. But what we're called to do is be the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Do church well. Not just do church, though, you know. Be part of our community. And we ask these questions all the time. We don't always get the answer we like, but we keep asking the question. We keep plodding forward. And I think that's a sign of health. And I think that will keep us from going into the game not prepared.
Okay.
For sports analogy people. And so I think that even though we have to be cognizant of what's next, what steps we're supposed to take, the fact that we're asking the question, the fact that we're willing to put it out there is a very good sign and most of what we are supposed to be doing day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've talked a lot about going beyond the walls and trying to put that to feet. Yes, Lisa, right behind you.
Hello, my name is Davina, and what I wanted to say was basically it's all about seasons, and it's not only preparing the sheep, but it's preparing the shepherd to get to where he needs to be and where the flock needs to be. So pretty much, you know, it's the season, you know, for God to give, so.
Thank you. Yeah, for Moses, it only took 40 years in the wilderness. Oh, man, I'm in trouble. Anyone, anything else? I'll give you more time to think. There's the next church is the caretaking church. You see, it's always concerned with pressing issues. It's so busy, and there are so many needs that its focus is immediate, the immediate issues. It seems to always be in maintenance mode, just trying to keep its head above water. Decisions in this kind of church are based on immediate assets. The number one question is always, do we have the money now to support this? Matthew chapter 15, verses 32 and 33. Jesus called his disciples to him and he said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? And you know the rest of the story to that. A pig ate his full of acorns under an oak tree, and then he started to root around the tree. And a crow up in the tree remarked, you should not do that. If you lay bare the roots, the tree will wither and die. Let it die, said the pig. Who cares as long as there are acorns? See, a caretaking church is realistic and comfortable. As long as the services are good and the needs are met and people are happy, then all is well. If it's not broken, then don't fix it. The problem is that they walk by sight and not by faith. Likewise, it's very easy to slip into this caretaking mode in our Christian walk. Kind of get in a rut and get into a routine. At work it can happen. I can be so caught up in work and there's so much to do now that I don't look at the long picture and think, if I do things today, it'll set up my work for tomorrow or even the next day or even next week. We need to have a greater vision as individuals and as a church. Do our prayers reflect God's greater glory? Are our thoughts on today? Or can we somehow see the bigger picture? No man is worth his salt who is not ready at all times to risk his well-being, to risk his body, to risk his life in a greater cause. Theodore Roosevelt said that. See, two churches that we've looked at, the undertaking church and the caretaking church. And as I was doing that, maybe you said, I can see us in that. And as I was going through this, I could see us as Richmond Community Church, as the undertaking church, always looking back at, in the glory days. I remember back when we had two services going. And even before that, when there was a bus ministry and all kinds of things were happening with the bus ministry. And those are great. And we can learn from that, but somehow we can't live there. And there's the caretaking church. And as our trustees sit around, and even as our elders, we talk about, well, what do we do? And we're trying to maintain the church the way it is and improving it a little bit and doing these things. As I've been talking about, maybe you've seen them. Maybe you've seen us, Richmond Community Church, fit in the undertaking church or in the caretaking church. Thoughts, comments? All right, you get the last church then. See, the last church, it's the risk-taking church. See, it is always looking forward. They believe that the best is yet to come. They invest all that they have today so that they can be all that God wants them to be tomorrow. Risk-taking churches seek to be cutting edge. They want to see how God is moving and to use all available technology and music to make Christ known. One of the reasons that we don't take risks, I'm there, is because of the fear of failure. However, failure is just part of life. It's often a prerequisite to success. So if we want to, as a church, move forward with vision, then we must accept the fact that at times we will fail. Things won't go just right. Now, I know I'm talking semantics. See, because you're only a failure if you stop trying. Jonas Salk attempted 200 unsuccessful vaccines for polio before he finally came up with one that worked. Somebody asked him, how did it feel to fail 200 times to invent the vaccine? His response, I never failed 200 times at anything in my life. My family taught me never to use that word. I simply discovered 200 ways not to make a vaccine for polio. A blind man's vision is bounded by the limits of his touch. An ignorant man's world by the limits of his knowledge. A great man's world by the limits of his vision. You see, by faith, Noah went and he built an ark. And we've talked about it in Sunday school over and over again and stuff. He invested everything he had in something that seemed completely impossible. To build a humongously large boat in the middle of the desert, preparing for rain, which had never happened before. Can you imagine trying to build a boat in your backyard? They didn't even have cranes to move it anywhere. Though he could not see or understand everything that God had asked him to do, he based his life on God's word, and he was willing to wait 120 years for the promise to be fulfilled. Noah's vision was based on what God had told him. See, by faith, Abraham left his home and he went to the promised land. Though he was living in tents, he saw a future city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He believed God, and he based his life on that vision. See, what destroys our perspective is our tendency to measure ministry on too small a scale. We lose the wide-angle view because we're riveted in on the close-up. Using a microscope lens, even a harmless little spider looks hairy, like a horrible monster. And most of us, if you went around with a microscope and saw these cobwebs and you looked at it that way, you might never ever clean the cobwebs up because of the view of a spider. See, Jesus, he was a risk taker. He entrusted the salvation of the entire world. His plan A was based on 11 weak and frightened men. And through God's power and vision, they changed the world. See, instead of looking at the past and trusting in the present, they saw God's future church. And they boldly went forward to make it happen. So where is your vision today? How big is your faith? In which direction are you looking? Are you willing to lay everything on the line for God? Are you motivated by what has happened in your life? By what you presently have? Or are you open for God to use you in ways He may never, ever have used you before? Is your vision for your life, for this church, limited by immediate needs? See, God is shaking the kingdom, the kingdoms of the earth, and the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. Don't miss what God is doing. Let's join Him. A vision without a task is a dream. A task without a vision is drudgery. But when you can combine the two and you get a vision and a task, it is the hope of the world. For a long time, we've been talking about taking Christ beyond these walls, you know, going beyond this and taking Christ to the city. And as elders and as trustees, we're starting to work on that, finding new ways to do that. Different ways to do that. See, that is the third church, the risk-taking church. Questions, comments, thoughts?
What risks are there presently?
As individuals or as a church? This is going to be a fun dialogue here.
Well, I mean, yes.
Okay.
As individuals and church. I mean, individuals as far as where our spiritual gifts line up with the gifts that God has given us for mm-hmm. the service within the church. And then as a church for the vision as to what focus and what direction are we going, you know?
Okay.
Rather than being a flood, being a river, being deep and narrow. So there's a stream of life going. What risks are there for us to take?
Okay. Not all of this has been discussed, elders and things, but you're asking me. What I would love to see, I would love to see more and more of us getting involved in activities outside of just this time, Sunday mornings. So that may include small groups, starting more small groups and finding intimate cell groups where people can get involved. We have one that meets on Thursday nights, and that's been going fairly well, and other little groups. But laying it out there forming bonds and relationships that way. As a congregation, laying it out there, and we've already started doing that. And we have a lot of buildings that God has given to us. And so some of you know, OHSU has actually contacted us wanting to rent space from us because they're busting at the seams. And we continue to say, we want to reach this community. What better way to reach this community than allowing OHSU to use our building at times when we're not using it? And finding ways, and there's risks involved with that. Because that means we have to open up what we have to people we don't really know. We have a group in, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, that will actually come over from the school. And they will come over here on Monday afternoons for about an hour. And they'll bring some of the children from there over here. And they're getting ready to set up a chess and a go club. They've already got it there, but the size is too small. And they're telling them they can't meet there. So we don't even know these people, and we're opening our building to them to let them use what God has given to us. The risk to that is we've got these people coming over. But the advantages are that those people will be here. And when those kids are downstairs, their parents will walk through this building. Okay, maybe that's a risk too for us. But see, we're opening ourselves up to allow God to use us. If we want to go beyond these walls, we've got two perfect opportunities that are standing right there. And so we're trying to do that. And you open yourselves up for things that God is doing. So that's one way. We have people in this church who have gifts, things that you can do. And some of you are starting to step up. The decorations, and we already made comments. The decorations are awesome. But you know what? It's not how we did it in the past. But it's cool. And people step up and they start using their creativity and decorating and setting things up. And it makes a difference. People notice it. I don't know if that answers all. You and I can go back and forth more and more if we want on this and talk about it. But it's really open yourselves up. And when God leads you, there are other things that are in the work that I really can't talk about now. But people come up to you and say, well, what if we do this? See, God is opening doors for us and bringing things there and allowing people, you all sitting there, when God lays it on your heart and you say, well, I think we need to start a small group for this, finding a way to make it happen. Because you all are the ones that do the ministry. Okay, I know. Okay, Ziggy's been up back there for a little bit. Yeah, Ziggy.
You know, God's put me in a position where I'm helping people at Shriners and Dornberger's hospitals for the kids up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see a team of people go up with me when I go to give back to the kids up there in the hospitals. I have a praise to God because my application for being a chemo pal has been approved, and I will be a chemotherapy pal for the kids up there at Shriners mm-hmm. as soon as I'm off from probation. They're going to keep my application at hand until I get off probation and I'm accepted. So I'll be actually going up to mm-hmm. spend time with the kids to give chemotherapy with them because I've been through it myself 3 times. And I thank God for that, to give me allow that opportunity to be up there for the kids and the people that are struggling and also to be with the families that are going through these tragic times. I'll be able to help minister with the families and give back that God has given me.
Uh-huh.
And a clear path that God has provided me for. And I want to thank the church for that, providing me for that too.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. See, and so Ziggy has the ability to go in to these hospitals. And because he's gone through this treatment for cancer, he's able to relate to them and deal with them. And James won't say anything about this, but I'm going to, and I didn't get his permission, so I'm going to hear about it afterwards. But he has a friend who's been arrested and is going to jail. And so James is right in the process now of beginning a prison ministry because he's visiting his friend. Now, is it something that he asked for or anything? No, but it's there in front of him. And so he's doing it. A prison ministry, right, James? Yep. See, and so sometimes things come in life, we don't expect them, but we can work with them, we can go with it. And Pastor Frank, yes.
I just wanted to encourage the congregation that when you have a vision or a dream, try it. And it's okay. And in this congregation, if it's not the right timing, that's okay too. The seed's been planted.
Yeah.
And God may need time for that seed to germinate before it actually grows into fruitation. So don't count it as a failure. Count it as God's working on it.
Yeah, exactly. Several years ago, we had a senior pastor here, Jeff McCoy. And some of his thoughts and some of his ideas, he started and he planted. And then things didn't move quite as quickly as he wanted, and he left. But do you realize that most of the stuff he talked about has actually started happening? And so someone who gets a vision, you got to share the vision with everybody else and allow them time to do that. Back in 2000, the church asked if I would work with youth, and I was all excited about it. Lisa and I had been attending a couple of years and stuff, and I went home and I told Lisa, I said, they've asked if we'd be willing to work with the youth again, because we hadn't been doing that while we were here. And she says, oh, I don't know. And I didn't say anything else about it. And she didn't really want to do it. And a couple of weeks later, she came up to me and said, if it's what you want to do, then let's do it. And so I got to work with youth for a long time. And right now, I can lament because we don't even have a youth program. We've got no youth here anymore. He's hiding in the back. I know that. But there are some who are on their way in. And now they're all nervous. See, and so God will bring different opportunities and seasons. You talked about seasons. And yes, that's it. And I can be worried about the past and all the young adults who have come through and lived my life back there in that time. And I'm grateful for that. It was awesome. Or I can say, hey, God has got some new things coming. And we can find ways to make those new things great and move forward with that. And as a church, we can look back at where it's been and all the things that have happened and stuff, or we can say God has set us up as a church, as a people, to do some great and mighty things. Do I understand what all of them are? Do I know what all of them are? No, I don't. But God does. And as long as we open ourselves up and we're willing to try new things, maybe even fail at some new things, then God can use us. We can go places and do things. Any other thoughts? Comments? I will go on you with ministry trails that you want to run down and stuff as much as you want. And see where we can go with it and see what we can do. If God is calling you to something or laying it on your heart, you never know. You may be up here preaching a sermon, right, Kelly?
Okay. Well, you have a couple of solo singers here, and
all right.
Just wondered how open we are to solo singing.
And we can also like take that to like you know, hospital homes, mm-hmm. like, or you know, take it, connect with other churches, come mm-hmm. together, and you know, meet up and just put a little spark under us and not be afraid to try new things, because really change is going to happen whether you want it or not. So you mm-hmm. might as well go for it.
That's right. Lisa and Kelly will talk to you afterwards about solos next week. I guarantee it. Change will happen whether you want it to or not. Many of you may not know this. There's a vacant lot right over here, and we've talked about it a little bit. A 3-story, 10-unit apartment complex is going in whether we want it to or not. Now, we can fight it, and the guy owns it, and it's already been approved, and they're working on it. We can fight it and do all things against it, or we can try to find ways to work with that and to do things there. City is changing all around us, and we can fight it, or we can accept it and find ways to reach it and to work with it. Granted, we are kind of all suburban people in an inner-city setting, but God can still use us. If we're willing to let him. Any other thoughts, comments? If you have one that pops up later on, you can come and talk to me. I'm more than willing to chat with you about it. Sit down and spend time on it. How about no closing song today? Or do you got a great one to go? That's a good one? Jason says a good one. We're doing it then. Let's do a closing song, and then we'll close with a prayer.